You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Stugatz, do you get annoyed when you hear golf analysts say that somebody's a good ball striker? Shouldn't every professional golfer be a good ball striker?
Yeah, but some are better than others, Chris.
Who are the bad ball strikers? I never hear them say a guy's a bad ball striker.
Schauffele on the 16th hole.
Yeah, that's true. You heard a lot yesterday about the Zalatoris guy. Good ball striker.
Yes,
go a little deeper than that. I'm going to need a little more analysis on Zalatoris.
Hits the irons flush. Very good mid-range player. Decent around the greens. I guess you're right. If you're at that level playing in the Masters, you should be hitting them. Yes.
I just want to hear who the bad ball striker is one time.
I want to ask you guys some golf questions. First of all, Stugatz, did a guy that you said, somebody sent us a tweet saying that you had a guy who wouldn't be playing on Saturday, Connors, and he had an ace on the sixth hole. I think that they had just heard you on the podcast simply do one of your Stugatz things where you said so-and-so will not be playing on Saturday.
Yeah, he had an ace on the, I believe, on the 16th hole. Where did he finish, though? I'm just out of curiosity. I'm wondering.
Well, he was just playing Saturday. Yeah.
He had
a hole-in-one on the day you said he wouldn't be playing.
Yes, he finished tied for eighth, Corey Connors. He did have a hole-in-one. He did play Saturday. Not just Saturday, Dan. He played Sunday as well.
Well, you say tied for eighth, and I wanted to ask you guys this question. Chris and Stugatz specifically, I wanted to ask this question because of how difficult it is to win at golf and something that Marty Smith did with golf.
I mean, really, a hole in one on the 16th hole is nothing. It happens all the time. It's one of the easier holes to hit a hole in one. I mean, Mike would stick that, put it right in the pen.
Right. Yeah. But it's harder to do if you're not playing on Saturday, which is what you said that he wouldn't be doing. It's pretty much impossible to make a hole in one on the Saturday at the Masters.
It's a bad prediction,
Dan. If you're not playing. But the thing that I wanted to ask you and Chris is you guys have been telling me for a long time that Ricky Fowler was going to be the young thing that came and grabbed everybody and chased everybody down. And I was just curious because he wasn't playing on Saturday. And I was just curious from the two of you, if you wanted to take a guess in terms of how hard it is to win at golf, because Marty Smith was doing something about this on ESPN. How many times do you think Ricky Fowler has won in his 11 or 12 years on the tour? Just won a tournament. Ricky Fowler, a name in that sport that people recognize. You want to take a guess on this?
I will take a guess. I'd say once a year, so 11 tournaments maybe.
Chris, you want to guess how many times Ricky Fowler has won a tournament?
I was thinking seven.
Five times.
What?
Five times Ricky Fowler has won a tournament. You guys said that yesterday was uneventful and the Masters were uneventful. You guys were bothered by how uneventful it was, but it's just because another random dude ends up winning because so many random dudes are great at golf.
I want to explain this to people who watch golf the way you watch golf. It was a random dude.
No, but I'm saying Ricky Fowler has won five times in his life. I understand that this isn't a random dude. I'm saying there are a lot of guys like this guy and Ricky Fowler who can win any tournament they're in.
No question about it. That's just golf, Dan. I mean, Danny Willett has won the Masters. I mean, Danny Willett. I don't even know if you ever heard of Danny Willett, but guys like that occasionally will win the Masters. This was a deserving winner. You just didn't have the tension at the end that you wanted, but you finally got it with Schauffele on the 16th hole. And he kind of choked. I mean, he had a chance to to catch him, and Schauffele couldn't get it done because he went for the pin where he just needed to put one middle of the green, and May Kadecki, I'm terrified to say his last name, May Kadecki just hit another shot. At that point, it was a terrible job by Schauffele putting that in the water and getting a double bogey on the hole that Connors got a hole in one on. Easy hole. I mean, terrible job
you
by Schauffele.
You were terrified to say his name?
Matsuyama. I'm terrified. Matsuyama. I'm terrified.
You were just reprimanding me about the fact that you're a golf guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The guys who are not random guys, you know their names.
Matsuyama. I mean, but he's a deserving winner. And I think with Augusta, that's all you're looking for. Like, you just want a guy who's kind of been in contention, has been around. He has, not just in the Masters, in U.S. Opens, PGAs as well. And he finally got it done. There was nothing to it. It wasn't a popular champion, and there was no tension at the end. You want a couple of guys, three or four guys with a chance to win it, and preferably you want one of those three or four guys to be someone like Tiger or Phil Mickelson or Jordan Spieth or Dustin Johnson. You didn't really have that.
How often does what happened with Siwoo King happen, where he breaks his putter in anger and he has to use a 5-wood as a putter the rest of the day?
Siwoo Kim, yeah.
What I call him? I call him King?
Yeah.
Yeah,
fine. Siwoo Kim. So, well, okay, yes, yeah. Both of us.
Not really a Korean name.
Both of us did poor things with the Asian names in golf. How often have you seen that where you break a putter and you're using a 5-wood to putt because them's the rules?
I've never seen that. Chris, have you ever seen that? Because I would not go 3-wood or 5-wood as my putter. If that did happen to me, I'd probably go with a hybrid. You know, that's what I would putt with. But
The 3-wood's got that flatter surface. I'd probably go with the 3-wood too. But it happens every once. You see it a couple times a season where a guy gets mad and breaks a club. Not usually at the Masters, though.
It was uneventful, Dan. It was, it's my favorite event of the year, and it was a bit spoiled because he played so well that headed into Sunday, you didn't really have, you had a feeling that he was just going to kind of roll away with it, and he didn't. It got close at the end, but at that point it was too late, and so it's just disappointing. It's a deserving winner. I'm happy for him. I'm upset for the audience because I know how much people love that event, and you'll have to wait another year to see it again because this was uneventful.
You end up rooting for this guy to hit it in the water on the final couple holes just for excitement.
It's so weird.
When somebody has a 5-stroke lead with 4 holes left, you're just like, come on, shank one.
Here's the other thing, Dan. It's like golf is so weird, okay? Justin Rose is, I might call myself a fan of Justin Rose's. He's never done anything bad to me, but he got off to that -7 first round start. And this is the way you root for the Masters and golf in general, where I like Justin Rose. He's never done anything to harm me. In fact, I would call myself at times a fan of Justin Rose, but I was rooting for him to go +3 the second round at Augusta because that's how golf works. Like, you're rooting for guys you like to choke because you want an exciting ending.
Whenever we talk around here about golf, usually we're mentioning Tiger Woods, and the Tiger Woods crash has some stuff in it that is unusual. He was going 82 in a 45. He didn't hit the brakes, which some people say happens when you're in a panic. You hit the gas instead of the brakes. And Tiger Woods was very quick, Stugatz, and his team was very quick to send out a press release. Hey, investigation's over. Nothing here happened that was suspicious or weird. It was just an accident. But 82 and a 45 and hit the gas instead of the brakes going around the corner. How suspicious is this accident, or do we just move on because the investigation is over?
Time to throw away all journalistic credibility and get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
You're good.
No, you're good.
Oh, I'm good. Okay. I don't feel like I need the reckless speculation. That's all I do is speculate recklessly. There is something fishy going on. On top of everything you just said, Dan, first off, why are we not hearing the details? Secondly, here's the most disturbing part. The cops said when he got to the hospital, he thought he was in Florida. The crash was in L.A.
But that can happen.
But then there's so many fishy things here. There's details not being released.
But that can happen in an accident if you hit your head.
Like, I guess it could. I mean, really? But because the cop who got there said he was answering all his questions. He was fine. And then that story changed. A lot has changed.
For me, I think the thing that makes it suspicious beyond reading the details about how the investigation of the whole thing has some things missing in it is the fact that you have seen video of him getting out of a car in, you know, in the morning, not himself, hopped up on pills. And you know the trouble that he's had with pain stuff. And one of the details in the story is that there was an empty pill container in his car. And I don't know what happened with the investigation there. I did think it was interesting that Tiger Woods' people were very quick to put out there for everybody, hey, you guys know this investigation is closed now, right? It's closed. It's closed up. We're very grateful to everybody involved. And there are some pieces missing where the police are saying, hey, there was no preferential treatment here, even though there are some pieces missing on whether or not he was, studied and measured the way he should have been for intoxicants. He has been cleared.
It just seemed like a lot of people rushed to tell you, hey, nothing to see here. Keep it moving. Let's move on. His team, the cops, Tiger himself, nothing to see.
It's a big economy they're protecting. And
absolutely,
he can't have many more after he's had the redemption story. He can't have many more situations that are scandalous and continue to get this reemerging rehabbed image applause that he gets, that as you've heard me say about the HBO Max documentary on Tiger Woods that you guys should watch.
I'm getting to it.
Puts him in a position where it looks like he's a sex addict and a drug addict and an addict in general in order to escape whatever pain his body is in.
He did that to himself. He did. And that's why there are so many questions around this particular accident, because of his past. You're right. But Tiger brought this on by himself, all by himself. And that's why people have questions and perhaps don't believe the story that's being dished out by his team.
You mentioned that you're getting to them. Have you seen that Cooper Manning, even though you haven't gotten to Peyton's places on ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
Even though you haven't gotten to Eli Manning's new projects on ESPN Plus.
No.
Cooper Manning, the lesser known Manning brother, now has Stugatz Soup with Coop, where people sit down and have soup with him. Chicken wings are taken or hot sauce is taken. Gabrielle Union just mentioned something that was a little surprising, or not just mentioned it, but in that chicken wing, I don't even know the name of that show where they're eating hot sauce and being interviewed, but Gabrielle Union talks about the fact that she used to watch Golden Girls with DMX.
It's Hot Ones, duh.
So Hot Ones, on that show, Hot Ones, where they eat hot sauce, it's a great idea. They eat chicken wings and then try to be interviewed, and it's funny. Soup with Coop is what they went with just because his name is Coop.
Did he consider poop with
on
Coop?
On a toilet, perhaps,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes,
you could have gone, yeah. You could have gone that way. Billy, you say you're in with Cooper Manning's Soup with Coop. Basically, we're going to eat a food. They're going to eat soup with Coop.
Just because. I want to have a pooper with Cooper. I mean,
jeez, you wouldn't poop next to someone, though, would you, and do an interview? That's great. Soup with Coop.
Kidding me?
Stugatz.
Kidding me?
In fact, you should do stupidity that way. It's on your cover art is on, is sitting as the thinker and the stinker on a toilet. You might as well. You should do that. You should figure out a way to do toilets with wieners around the toilet, or however it is that you figure out to put a poop with Coop situation in your life.
A two with stew. How about that?
Wow.
A deuce.
Oh.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, Visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Izzy is berating me with text about you and Witty bad-mouthing Chicago-style pizza on Mystery
Cook. It's the worst. Chicago-style pizza is the worst. We don't need to get into it. And then I have people saying, where have you had Chicago? In Chicago, okay? Like,
wow.
Don't come and tell me that I've had bad Chicago-style pizza because I had it somewhere here. It was in Chicago, and it was atrocious. Ugh.
Restaurant would be?
I did basically say, Cortez, hiding over here, coward, not saying things, you know, with your voice, typing in a little chat like a gossip over there. At least said Papa John's is better than Chicago pizza. Guess what? It is.
What?
That's
just
right.
Blasphemous.
Deep
just
dish
blasphemous.
Is a bit overrated.
Thank you. Papa John's is better than Chicago style pizza. Everybody knows it.
I mean, you can say that deep dish is like, you know, not as good as other pizzas, but to say that it doesn't taste good is just crazy.
It's not pizza. Chicago style pizza, man. Is not pizza.
It's too much bread.
Pizza pie.
It's sauce.
The pie. It's not just bread.
I also don't like people that judge Sparrows. I love Sparrows.
I love Sparrows.
So Sparrows are good. Sparrows is good.
Yeah. Sparrows is good when you're in a mall. That's it.
I don't think there needs to be a rebuttal on the Chicago pizza with that indictment.
Wait, what?
Sparrows is garbage.
No. My eyes light
You're
up.
Garbage.
When I see a Sparrows.
Whoa, yes, hey!
Yes, my eyes light up, man. Those meatballs. Whew.
Oh, the meatballs, yes.
I would eat a stack of Sparrows as thick as a Chicago pizza before I'd eat another Chicago pizza. I
love Sparrows.
It is such a bad take, Billy, that Papa John's is better than deep dish Chicago-style pizza.
It is. Have you had Chicago-style pizza?
Yes.
In Chicago?
Yes.
It's a big difference.
Where'd you go?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I've been all over Chicago.
Well, it was so
there.
Great you remember, Dan.
I don't know the
name. Pizzeria
names.
Uno the, or something like
every
that?
Every Chicago deep dish pizza I've ever had has been good.
Oh, no. It's not pizza. It's pasta.
It's pasta?
It is pasta.
Not pasta.
It's You're eating a pot with a bunch of sauce in it and some cheese tossed in it. It's not pizza. If you can't grab it with your hand and bite it, it's not a pizza.
Put it on the poll, please. Is Papa John's pizza better than Chicago deep dish pizza?
So I guess a piece of cardboard is technically pizza by those rules, which is exactly what Sparrow is.
Mm-hmm.
Sparrow is delicious, man. You're getting Sparrow's the pizza, you're getting the wrong thing. I told you the meatballs, the chicken parm, fantastic.
But he's talking about the pizza. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about the other things.
I'm talking meatballs right now.
Exactly.
You go to Sparrow's and have a meatball?
I do, yeah, meatball sub. Yeah. Yeah. Delicious.
Have you ever had it from there?
Yeah.
No.
Then.
I've walked beyond every Sparrow's in every airport in America. I would never.
Yeah. Walking past it to what? The bookstore?
Yes. The Hudson News. I got to pick up my GQ for this week.
I love how you give a totally classless, unintelligent take and then attack Whittingham for being smart. You went to learn something? You went to a bookstore? No, not me. I go to a mall food court and I get a meatball.
That Sunday Times isn't going to read itself.
If he was smart, he'd stop at Sparrow's. I mean, the place is unbelievable. It really is. Try the pasta too. Spaghetti, the linguine with clam sauce. No, I'm not even joking. It is fantastic. I'm not joking.
More than just a pizzeria.
Yes. Yeah.
I got to research what their spending power is when it comes to podcasts. I don't want to write off Sparrow.
Clams from Sparrow?
Yeah, perhaps I got carried away.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Would you ever have clams from a food mall Sparrow?
It's a dangerous game, Dano.
What do you mean?
Perhaps the most dangerous of games.
It seems like a dangerous game. I want to get into some movie news because we've got John Wick 4 is filming in Germany, and Stallone is not a part of Creed 3, which seems a little bit blasphemous. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is it blasphemous that Stallone is not a part of Creed 3? But I want to play some sound here first, just in honor of any time we mention LaMarcus Aldridge in any form on the podcast. I think it should be a rule that we simply have to play this sound from Stugatz, the time that we were talking about LaMarcus Aldridge most famously.
LaMarcus Aldridge,
awful.
I mean,
no, he's an embarrassment, man. I'm telling you, Greg Popovich is going to get rid of that guy in the offseason. He was an embarrassment last night. He is so out of shape. There are so many times where the Rockets were playing 5-on-4 on offense because LaMarcus Aldridge was walking back on defense. He's bad. He's not a good player. I don't know what happened to him because when he was in Portland, he was fantastic. He is not good, Dan. He cost them the game last night. Although they won the game. Had they lost, I'm telling you, it would have been on LaMarcus Aldridge. Really? And the only reason it's not is because they won the game. Otherwise, San Antonio would be crushing him today. And I'm still going to crush him, even though they won.
One of my favorite parts about that sound, and I know I play it too much, is I try to get in there. You can hear me try to get in there to explain that they won the game. And when he presses the gas, like Tiger Woods when he hits that curve, instead of hitting the brakes, he just presses the gas and fast forwards through me, and it's all sausages in my face. Like, all I feel is sausage fingers in my face.
You wanted me to play it again there? Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't have the pot on. WrestleMania weekend. My mom died when I was 15.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Awful.
I mean...
No, he's an embarrassment, man. I'm telling you, Greg Popovich is going to get rid of that guy in the offseason. He was an embarrassment last night. He is so out of shape. There are so many times where the Rockets were playing 5-on-4 on offense because LaMarcus Aldridge was walking back on defense. He's bad. He's not a good player. I don't know what happened to him, because when he was in Portland, he was fantastic. He is not good, Dan. He cost them the game last night, although they won the game. Had they lost, I'm telling you, it would have been on LaMarcus Aldridge.
You deflated so quickly.
I just threw a bunch of sausages in my face and ran away. So there was some sound here I also heard over the weekend. Apparently, Mark Schlereth was ripping the Jets and the Jets fans on a sports radio station in New York.
Stink.
Did you see what he put out a video? I'm going to play the sound from the video here, Stugatz, but what you need to know, just for visual accompaniment, because this is an audio medium, is that he's wearing a Broncos helmet as he's speaking, and he keeps holding up hands that have a lot of rings on them as he's speaking. And so he is going after Jets fans here, or people who objected to whatever it is that he had to say about general Jets incompetence.
I thought what I would do today to make it up to you Jet fans is, you know, give you a little show and tell. Now, this is actually the helmet I wore in the AFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl 33. So I thought I would share with you guys some Super Bowl rings and kind of the story of the championship games behind getting to these Super Bowls. So see if you can pick out the one where the Broncos beat the Jets, okay? No, it's not that one. That's Super Bowl 26, the Skins over the Buffalo Bills. And that NFC championship, we beat the Detroit Lions. I mean, put a beat down on them. It was like 45-10 or something of that nature. I mean, I'm telling you, the sisters were kinder in Shawshank Redemption to Andy Dufresne than we were to the Lions that day. So that's not it. Now, this one is Super Bowl 32. That's really my favorite ring, because the Broncos on that day were 11-point underdogs or 11.5-point underdogs to the Green Bay Packers. So in the AFC Championship, we beat Pittsburgh. We had to convert a third down and 7 at the very end of the game to seal the victory, which we did. So it wasn't that one. You're right, Jets fans. That's the one right there in the middle. That's Super Bowl 33. And that's when the Jets were up on us 10-0 in the third quarter. And then we came back and opened a can of whoop ass to the tune of 23-0 in the third and fourth quarter to beat your asses. So there you go. That's the ring that we got after we beat you in the AFC Championship. All right. Enjoy.
It hurts, doesn't it?
It really does.
He's wearing a helmet. He's wearing a helmet in his home, holding up a middle finger with a ring on.
Was he in a spaceship of some sorts?
Just a helmet. He was just wearing
like a tour guide in the planetarium. I mean,
just an oversized helmet is all that he was wearing.
We were up 10-0 at half, Dan. I swear to you, I was watching it with my friends. I told everyone, no one say the words. No one say Super Bowl. Don't think about it. Don't say it. My friend, and this is why the Broncos advanced, by the way.
One of your friends made a plane flight, right?
One of my friends went out at the time, because we didn't have cell phones, went out to a payphone and called a ticket broker and purchased tickets to the Super Bowl. Did not tell us that until 20 years later. I hate him.
Mark Schlereth's Man 101 features an all-star cast of instructors to help you get the results you need. Tony Berselli's history class will show you that Rome could have actually been built in a day if those lazy Italians just had some elbow grease. And Warren Sapp's finance class will teach your mouth not to write checks your ass can't cash. We're not savages, though. We'll even allow you to recharge your batteries in our world-class spa. You've heard of saunas and mud masks? We kind of have that. Only we lock you up in Texas Tech's equipment room and just put your hand in the dirt. And remember, each day ends with Mr. Schlereth chewing you up and spitting you out. So sign up right now for Mark Schlereth's Man 101. The price is whatever you can afford, as long as you put your money where your mouth is. Enroll now and get 2 free tickets to the gun show. Which just means you get to look at Brian McCann doing some arm curls so long as you don't look him in the eye. Mark Schlereth's Man 101. You're welcome.
So Mike just picked a random one because his mom died when he was 15 and WrestleMania was this weekend. I've got a lot of Bad Bunny questions, but play some more random ones of those.
Are you sick and tired of players showing up to training camp in Brinks trucks and hot air balloons? Do you long for a day when respect was earned, not given? Well, let me tell you about Mark Schlereth's Man 101. It's the only instructional getaway seminar that's guaranteed to put some hair on your chest. Each morning at Mark Schlereth's Man 101 begins with you walking 15 miles in the freezing cold just to get to the venue. Once you get there, you'll be served breakfast, which is just a nice slice of humble pie. That'll be the only meal of the day we give because we want all attendees hungry for success. After your one meal, you'll be allowed 30 seconds of bathroom time in which you'll either or get off the pot. Mark Schlereth's Man 101.
You're welcome.
To it, Stu.
Give me another one there before we get to Bad Bunny analysis. I imagine Billy's got some Bad Bunny analysis. He is said to be the greatest celebrity ever. I find it hard to believe he was better than McAfee. McAfee had a move that I've never seen a celebrity do in any of these wrestling matches, but we'll get the Bad Bunny analysis after a couple of more Man 101s.
Listen up, Kombucha Breath. Doing your beat cram yoga and spinning classes and Pilates. We here at Man 101 get fit the old-fashioned way. In a prison cell, doing 10 quick sets of kicking your ass. You can take your dairy-free, lactose-intolerant rear home while we milk our own cow and then eat it. Push-ups, pull-ups, throw-ups. Diet. We might do that to our lumberjack beard, not our appetite. Kale salad ain't a man's food. That's what my dinner eats. Mark Schlereth's Man 101. You're welcome.
Billy, how excited were you by Bad Bunny's performance? Did you see any of it or were you just reading about it?
Oh, no. I went and I looked for it after the fact. He was great. I also learned, and this is like a dumb thing to admit after the fact, I also learned how valuable other wrestlers are in terms of selling what you're doing because they put him over incredibly. Like the stuff that they made it seem like he was doing was insane. They had this guy outside, John Morrison, I think his name is. He was on Survivor, by the way. They had him do this flip thing where it seemed like Bad Bunny did a flip over him and then like did like a power bomb type move. And it was just him essentially doing a backflip with Bad Bunny on his back. It was incredible. He was jumping. He was flying. He did a spin thing where all he did was had his arms out while, you know, the Miz was spinning him around like you do with a little kid. It was incredible, but they sold the hell out of Bad Bunny.
That bunny has hops.
God.
What? It's also the Canadian Destroyer, Bill. I mean, come on.
Mike, you were there. What kind of seats did you have? You were vaccinated. Was it a healthy? Was it a corona? It was wrestling in Florida. So was it actually a safe environment?
No.
No, not really. There weren't people checking for masks. I guess they just let those cardboard cutouts of people who look like they've never watched wrestling in their entire life kind of do the limiting of transmission for the coronavirus. But it was really fun. I enjoyed night one better than night two, and I enjoyed night one purely on the shoulders of Bad Bunny's performance. It was incredible. And Billy's absolutely right to give credit to the wrestlers that were working with Bad Bunny, and not just those wrestlers in the ring, but the producers and talent that had been working with Bad Bunny behind the scenes, because that was amazing. Dude was so over with the crowd, too. You would have thought The Rock in his prime came out, which I was kind of interested to see how the crowd would react to him, because he's not this English language superstar. There's been a lot of negative feedback to his appearances on Raw, but the crowd was firmly behind him, to the point that when people would try to cheer for The Miz, they would get drowned out. It wasn't racist, but it kind of felt racist if you were rooting for The Miz.
Best celebrity performance you've seen in wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. And McAfee was very good. McAfee had the crown before, and Bad Bunny just snatched that one. That was
really
great.
So just took it from him.
He seemed to take it seriously too, right? Like, because you could just, if you're Bad Bunny's status, like, you don't need to go in and actually care about wrestling, but it seems like he's been around for like a month building this up. And I would imagine that I don't want to break the fourth wall here, but I would imagine that they rehearsed that a lot, like all of those moves and all those things, and they were executed great. But I mean, a lot of wrestlers, or celebrity wrestlers, I don't want to put anyone out there, you know, Shaq, could just come in and kind of throw people over the top rope and do whatever, but that's not what Bad Bunny was doing.
No, he was in the ring the entire time, basically. Put the work in, was good at selling. He did everything you would ask for and more. He was fantastic.
No mistakes, just a flawless
no
performance.
No botches. It was a flawless performance. Crowd was super into it the entire time. He can... Obviously, he's got a day job. I think he's got to do that. But yeah, Billy's right. He's a lifelong fan. He's a big-time wrestling mark, and it shows in there with how seriously he took it.
The rain didn't ruin WrestleMania?
No, because the rain, it's funny, because they took COVID seriously with the social distance, but then they tell you to evacuate, and then everyone's just huddled up, and it's like super unsafe. But, I mean, they've actually gotten pretty lucky to not have rain affect any of the WrestleManias before. It didn't put a damper on things. It was really cool to just actually... I was sitting there night one. I was like, man, I really enjoyed having this kind of atmosphere and energy around a wrestling event. It was something that I hadn't felt like I'd seen in like a lifetime. So it was really fun from that perspective.
So you mentioned racism, and that's my music. And I wanted to bring up a couple of different things here.
Probably a little harsh on my part, but yeah.
That I saw while wrestling. I mean, wrestling does these things. Wrestling has been allowed.
I did
for
lead
a long
the charge
time.
In booing Hulk Hogan, though. Oh, I love that. I enjoyed that.
Why was he dressed
thoroughly.
Like a pirate? What happened there?
I don't know. Well, I guess they were trying to get him over a little bit because night one did not go well. And they were really smart with how they wanted to do it. They kind of Trojan horsed Titus O'Neil with him, who's a black wrestler that does a lot of great charitable work, and he's the first voice that you hear, and he does something that gets a crowd of pops, and then, oh, here comes Hulk Hogan just trying to ride that. Nope, crowd won't let you have it. This is your reckoning. Even day two, they kind of cheered him a little bit more, but the crowd hasn't really had the opportunity to tell Hulk Hogan how they exactly feel about that whole racist tirade of his, and they did on night one.
So a couple of different things I wanted to talk about. One, Stugatz, you saw the video of the lieutenant being pulled over and pepper sprayed this weekend by police officers. It was appalling. One of the police officers has been fired. It went viral. He's a black guy in camouflage gear who was being totally polite, only suing for $1 million and is probably going to get that, I would assume, because the video is that kind of appalling, and it's hard to look at what you're seeing there, because it's been a reckoning here since Rodney King, where it took a long time for the video to get here to show us what it is that minorities have been telling us was happening. But now we get the visuals for ourselves, and for all of you who complain about Colin Kaepernick disrespecting our military when that's not what he was doing, and he was taking advice from a military person on how to kneel respectfully or how to protest respectfully, that's what disrespecting our military looks like. And obviously, on top of that, you have very obvious to see racism, where someone is being respectful and polite and objecting in the mildest of terms and is getting pepper sprayed while he's clearly a member of our military. He's telling them, I serve our country. And that's how that results. I wanted to tie something here, though, to sports, because I was talking about Rodney King and video cameras, and this is an old and tired fight. The other one I saw make an appearance this weekend, and I'm surprised that Phil Mushnick is still doing this in the New York Post, where he's ripping New York Yankee Gary Sanchez. He's ripping him because he still doesn't speak English in a way that Phil Mushnick would like. He's ripping him for having an interpreter and calling him sloppy at baseball and basically sloppy as an American because he has not yet learned English to Mushnick's liking. And I'm just surprised that that is still flying. I know it's Mushnick's brand. I know that newspapers
are
dying.
Your brand's got to change, though, Dan. How can that still be your brand in 2000? I understand what you're saying. That's his brand. He's been doing it forever, but he's still getting away with it? Like, well, shame on the New York Post.
Well, clearly he's still getting away with it, but it's just such a tired argument where these guys need some help. Baseball is hard. It is hard when you are obsessive, compulsively sort of sculpting a craft to come to a new country when most people learn how to speak a language. The easiest time to learn how to speak a new language is before you're 6 years old, because it gets harder after that. And I understand that you want your foreigners to acclimate to their new surroundings, but there's just some sort of pressure here that feels deeply unpleasant, that is tired and has been an argument for years. Interpreters help these guys assimilate to new cultures when it can be difficult to assimilate to new cultures. And Hideki Arabu showed you how difficult it is to assimilate to the tabloids in that city and the columns by guys like Mushnick, where they're so deeply unhappy and can't make the transition that in the case of Arabu, because it's hard, he ends up killing himself because his baseball career failed to meet the expectations. I just can't believe that this is still a thing where people are still writing and editing and printing in newspapers. And it's not like some shadowy corners of the internet. It's the New York Post, but still, it's a publication. Like, I'm not saying you need to cancel Mushnick, but somebody needs to talk to Mushnick. Can you stop this? This doesn't work anymore today.
How do you think that goes with the Murdoch family? You're surprised the Murdochs haven't reined Phil Mushnick in? I mean, it's kind of their brand, Dan.
But does that still sell? Is Mushnick doing that something that's still, like, an aside in a notes
Tucker
column?
Tucker Carlson sells?
An aside in a notes column where
it sells in some places, doesn't
seven
it?
Seven paragraphs in on something he's writing about the New York Yankees. Yet somebody's like shaking a fist. Yeah. Well, way to tell Sanchez. You told Sanchez. He needs an interpreter. Mushnick, you told him.
It's an opinion piece.
How many languages you know, Mushnick? How easy has it been for you to learn? I mean, New York's pretty Hispanic. Like, it's not like there aren't a whole lot of Hispanic people in New York. How much Spanish has Mushnick learned?
We don't know that Mushnick is not fluent in Spanish.
Yeah,
I've got a pretty good idea that Mushnick isn't fluent in Spanish.
You send yourself up.
I will feel really embarrassed if Mushnick speaks seven languages and calls us and yells at us in Korean.
Well, look who's making assumptions based off the color of one's skin now.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.